prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 13 December 2023. Hard to believe we're about through another year. My goodness, how time flies. Especially when you get as many miles on you as I have right now. It really goes by very quickly. But nonetheless, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad you're with us. And I have a very special guest I'll bring up in a minute. I'll tell you who he is in just a second. Now, tomorrow being Thursday, if God allows, we'll be in the office all day tomorrow. I said we, myself and Crystal, will be here to take care of phone calls and orders and answer questions if we can. Folks, I want to be here for you. I mean that. So tomorrow is your chance. If you want to just call and chat a minute, ask some questions, anything we can do to help you, we're here in the office tomorrow. Do it. As you know, the other days of the week, Lisa answers the phones for us. We appreciate that. But I want to be available at least one day a week to be here for phone calls and comments and questions if I can. And maybe to minister to you if I can do that at all. I'll be honored to do that. So tomorrow's office day, you can give us a call at 800-777-4403. Or if you have long distance, you can save us some money if you'll call us on our toll number at 304-846-4448. And we do want to hear from you. I do mean that, folks. That's why we do Thursdays. We try to be here one day a week for you if at all possible. Just to let you know that we're real people. We're nobody special. We're just service of Christ. Just like you are. Maybe I'm a talk show host, been on radio for almost 31 years, been a preacher for over 40 years. But I'm a mere mortal, just a man trying to serve Christ. And believe me, folks, I'm saved by grace like all of you are. Believe me, I'm nothing special. I'm just a hillbilly from West Virginia trying to glorify our Father in heaven. And we're going to have Bible study this weekend, Lord willing. Looks like the weather's going to cooperate. It's supposed to be really pretty here in the mountains, up in the 50s and sunshine. You can join us if you like. We'd love to have you. You can watch us live if you go to our website, pastorbutch.com, and click on right where it says Rumble. Great big letter says Rumble. Click on there at 10:30 a.m., and there we will be. You can watch us live at 10:30, 11. We do prayer requests and praise reports and testimonies. 11:30, 12:30, we do Christian worldview news. Prophecy, folks, in the news brought into your living room on your computer. And from 1 to 2, we do a Bible study. And I hope you'll join us. Now, if you can't do that on computer, listen on the phone by calling 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. And all through the Bible studies and testimony time, you can call and talk to us if you like. We'd love for you to join us, and we're glad you'll watch us all over the world. It's so humbling to know people all over the world actually listen to a hillbilly from West Virginia trying to glorify our Father in heaven and edify the body of Christ. And I do mean that, and I really mean that. So we want you to join us if you can at all, please. It's so important. Now, tonight's guest, this gentleman I'm looking forward to talking to, he is the president of the Slavic Slavic, I should say, I guess, Gospel Association. And they are on a unique mission right now, especially in the Middle East, and I'm sure in Ukraine also, to reach the population of Ukrainians who left Ukraine to go to Israel to try to escape the war with Russia. Well, they walked right into another fire, so to speak, in Israel right now. And they're doing their best as a Christian mission to reach people by supplying their needs and sharing the testimony of Jesus Christ that's written in the Jewish Bible, if you will, about his promises to come and to save his people. Well, I don't care what race you are or what group you're with. Well, I don't care whether you be a Muslim, a Jew, or a member of the different tribe of Israel. I don't care who you are or what nation you are, what belief you have. When Christians can step in and open up the heart of giving to the people that need the help and have a chance to testify about Jesus Christ and his saving grace, that's what the church is here to do. In this case, they're reaching the Jews in Israel and there were Ukrainians that have left Ukraine to try to escape war and walked into a very hot spot, if you will. Our guest tonight is one of the people that are helping the people, the minister to these people that are in need right now and open the door to the gospel of Christ, and he's being very successful in this endeavor. His name is Michael Johnson. Michael, you there?
I'm here.
It is so good to have you, sir, and I mean that. Thank you for your endeavors to try to reach the people for Jesus Christ, for his glory, and of course, for their good. But tell the folks a little bit about Michael Johnson, who he is, and how you started with all this.
Well, I grew up in Connecticut, and when I was 19 years old, I with some friends of mine, we finished a couple years of college, and we got in a car and we drove out to California, and we ended up in Southern California. So this was in 1974, and I just wanted to go out and see what the other side of the country was like, and so I settled in and decided I wanted to stay for a few months. So I got a job working at a gas station in Santa Monica, California. So there was a guy there, his name was Danny Murphy, and Danny Murphy was kind of long hair. Again, this was around the tail end of the Jesus movement that took place back in California in those days. And so Danny had long hair and a beard, and he rode a chopped-out Harley-Davidson motorcycle. And so he and I got to know each other, and in the afternoons when I would pump gas, and he was the mechanic. And so one day we were talking. And he said to me, "So what are you doing tonight?" I said, "Well, I'll probably go home and drink some beer or something." And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, my wife and I, we got choir practice." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, we go to church every Sunday." And I said, "Oh, really? Why?" He said, "Well, we're Christians." And I thought, I grew up in the Congregational Church in Connecticut. And in fact, it was the same church that many years ago the noted theologian Jonathan Edwards grew up in. And I was in the youth group, and I was kind of involved and plugged in. And so I smiled at him. I said, that's great, because so am I. And he said to me, "No, you're not."
And I thought, wow. That was a direct hit. Go ahead.
He wasn't being combative. He had a smile on his face. So I said, "Oh, really?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Meet me tomorrow morning at Uncle John's Pancake House on 20th Street and Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica, and I'll buy you breakfast." So I said, "Okay." And so I got on my motorcycle and rode over there, and it was a meeting of an organization called the Christian Businessmen's Committee, which was a fellowship of Christian businessmen that would get together once a week, for prayer and Bible study. And the Bible teacher was a guy named Tom Brewer, and he was going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'd never really heard Bible teaching like that, and I was really impressed. And the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart at that time, and he drew me in. And so every week I would go and attend this Bible study. And within a couple of months, I repented of my sin and came to faith in Jesus Christ. And so it was a great experience, and I began to grow in my faith, and I began to attend an evangelical church in the Pacific Palisades. one of the members of that church was a guy named Hal Lindsey. Hal Lindsey wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth. And so Hal was a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he and a number of other graduates from that school recognized the fact that there were many young people coming to faith in Christ in Southern California and then beyond as a result of the Jesus movement, but they needed some Bible training. So they established a Bible Institute in Westwood, California, in what was once a fraternity house off campus at UCLA. It was called the Jesus Christ Light and Powerhouse. And so a number of other Bible teachers like John MacArthur would come down and teach, and Francis Schaeffer used to come out and teach. And it was a really great experience for me because it helped me to build a foundation for my faith. And so I spent a couple of years there. It was a great experience and a great fellowship. And then I moved on. And so I finished my undergraduate school in California, and I eventually got into the advertising world out there in California. In fact, I had met a woman who is now my wife, who was an advertising agency producer. And she, as an aside, she was working for an advertising agency, and one of their clients was Six Flags Magic Mountain. So they sold a commercial to the client, which required a bunch of fraternity guys to go to the park, and they would film them doing different things, riding the rides and messing around and whatnot. And then they cut it together to the song by Chicago called Saturday in the Park. And so when it came to casting, they tried to find some fraternity guys, and they couldn't do it. So my wife said, well, I know these guys in this Bible school, not too far from here. Let's bring those guys in to do it. And so we went in, and they hired us, and they shot the commercial, and it ran on air. It was a really different and an interesting experience. So that's when I began to get interested in the advertising business. So we got married, and I got a job in New York City. And in the early to mid '80s, we moved to New York City, and I was an advertising executive for 10 years in New York. And so we lived in Manhattan for 3 years, and then we moved out to Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and attended an evangelical church there. And a man named Bob Provost came, who was formerly the president of this ministry that I'm in now, and he organized a short-term missions trip to the country of Albania. Now, Albania was the most closed atheistic country on the face of the earth for many, many years, but the dictator had recently passed away, and things were beginning to open up. And so we went, and we spent a couple of weeks there and got involved in different kinds of ministry. And I came back, and God really was beginning to show me what he was doing in the post-communist world. And I really began to thought about it, think about it, and pray about it, because God was working my heart to move into ministry. But I never really knew what the skills of an advertising executive, I used to run the Tide detergent account and Tylenol pain medication, all these big brands.
Wow.
But I never really understood how that skill set could translate into working in ministry. And so eventually Bob Provost called me, and he needed help in, building awareness of the ministry and raising money. And he said to me, Michael, we have a great story to tell about what God is doing through his faithful churches in the former Soviet Union. And we need a professional like you to tell that story to the Christians here in America and the churches here in America. Will you, as a professional, come and help us tell that story? And I thought, that was like they say in the ad business, that was a pretty good pitch. And so right around the time that I was up for a big promotion at my current job, they offered me a job to come and work at the Slavic Gospel Association, which means I would have to move to Rockford, Illinois. So he offered me the job, and my wife and I talked about it. And I remember we were in Bob's house, and he said, "Why don't you and your wife go up and pray about it and see, how you feel about it?" So we went upstairs, and I said to my wife, Erin, I said, "What do you think?" She says, "I just think that God is leading us into this direction, and we would be disobedient if we didn't pursue it." So, I don't know, 2 minutes later, we came down and accepted the job. And so
That's a big step. That's a huge step.
Well, Oh, yeah, it was a big step, and it was a big, obviously, we had two young kids, and obviously, there were some financial implications to it, but, you know, I knew that God was going to provide for us, and he did, and so we came here to Rockford, and we moved here about 25 years ago or so, and I set to work to really understand, you know, how to do that, what he was asking me to do, so we made a lot of progress during that time. And so I worked initially as a vice president for the ministry for about 7 or 8 years, and the Lord began to move me in a different direction. And so for 13 years, I consulted with some of the biggest ministries, you know, in the faith-based world, helping them with their fundraising and strategy. But at the time, I learned a lot how to more effectively do that. So when Bob Provost retired 7 years ago, they called me back as the president, and so I have the privilege of serving as the president of this wonderful ministry, a ministry that was established back in 1934, and I'll tell you about that in a minute in terms of what the ministry is about.
Well, you know, I've been a supporter of the Voice of the Martyrs for many years. I really believe what they're trying to do, reaching people all the world with the gospel of Christ, and I mean that. But just out of curiosity, Slavic Gospel Association, where did that name come from?
Our ministry was established back in the early 20th century. There was a family in Belarus whose last name was Danica, and there was a famine and people were dying. It was a large family, and people within that family were dying as well. And so the father of that family, you know, came to the conclusion that the only way that they were going to survive was to send his son, who at the time was like 15 years old, to the United States so he could secure employment and then send money back to the family so that they could purchase food and survive.
Wow.
And so we put him on the boat. He ended up in Chicago and connected with, there was a Russian community there. And settled in, got a job, you know, got up and running, was able to send money back to the family. And then he met some people from the Moody Church.
And by the way, at 15 years old, that was a big charge to a 15-year-old young boy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely,
yeah. That's a big responsibility. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was. So he began to attend the Moody Church very faithfully. I think Dr. Rader was the pastor at the time. And he came to faith in Christ. And this guy is a real fiery, you know, energetic, intelligent guy. And he became just a consummate evangelist. So a few years later, he went back to Belarus, and his father would sit on the porch and stare down the road, hoping that one day he could see his son before he passed away. And he did pass away. But 2 weeks later, Peter came home, and he missed seeing his father before he died. So he, you know, shared his faith with the family. They initially rejected him, but then he would get in these wagons and, you know, take himself around to the different villages throughout that area, and he'd start preaching the gospel. And people were fascinated because they had never known anybody that had lived in America, let alone hearing this new strange religion.
What was their religion until then? What did they believe?
Well, in those countries, the main religion was Orthodox Christianity. They had adopted Orthodox Christianity back in the 10th century. And so those countries, for all intents and purposes, missed the Reformation, so they didn't really know anything about, you know, the Protestant or the evangelical faith. And
they actually didn't know what salvation was then.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because in their minds, you know, they had a background of works religion, if you will. But there was an evangelical element in those countries because back in the early 1800s, German Mennonites came into both Georgia and Ukraine and evangelized the peasant populations because, you know, there were attempts at reform years ago, but it was all shut down. But that began to take hold, and the churches began to grow. There was a bit of a revival that took place in the mid-1800s during those years. But again, when communism came, it all got shut down. Even the Orthodox got shut down. So,
right.
So he had just great, you know, had a lot of success when in doing that. And then he came back to the United States, and in 1934, when he began to see the persecution begin to ramp up in those countries, he established the Slavic Gospel Association, which was funded by a number of businessmen in Chicago, who 3 years earlier had funded the start of the Christian Businessmen's Association, which is the ministry that I got saved through. So the main thrust of the ministry back in those days was the covert distribution of Bibles to the churches and to the Christians in the Soviet Union, and that was pretty successful because they had ways of getting Bibles in. But they eventually developed what was the most significant Russian language Bible teaching program that was broadcast in and through the Iron Curtain in partnership with folks like Transworld Radio and FEBC and HCJB. And so they had, they had music programs, they had Bible teaching programs, they had a lot of different things. But the one program that was the most successful was simply this: the slow reading of Scripture, so that the people listening in their attics and in their basements on these shortwave radios could write the Scriptures down and then compile them.
Ah, okay, yes.
Because they didn't have access to the Scriptures. And so when the wall eventually came down, we would meet these people and they would show us the transcripts that where they had written the words down, having listened to the programs. So this ministry.
That is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That is such testimony. I love that. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so right around the time when the Soviets said that they were going to eliminate all forms of religion in the Soviet Union and put the last Bible under glass in a museum in St. Petersburg, we were able to crank up the radio programming so that it was running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So this ministry was instrumental in keeping the gospel open for many, many years. And then the wall came down and things changed. And Billy Graham came, and he made a tremendous impact in the lives of the people. Many people came to faith in Christ, during the years leading up to the wall coming down and then thereafter. So nobody saw it coming. Nobody in their wildest dreams in those countries thought that the bureaucracy of the Soviet Union would crumble. But because of God, it did. And that opened up a lot of opportunities, for evangelism and church planting and a lot of the things that are taking place in that country now.
That was divine intervention. That was providence through God's hand working through all this. I mean, the way it worked out with the 15 young man and what he did. Obviously, you can see the hand of God in this. And what you're doing now, as I said, I support the Voice of Martyrs. Have a long time. The prices people pay for the gospel of Christ around the world is phenomenal. We here in America are spoiled rotten. We have never seen anything like this yet. But now back to the original reason I'm interviewing you is because what you're doing now in Israel, and I'm sure some in Ukraine and other places, but with the situation of Israel and Hamas, I don't care whose side you're on, folks, it's not the point. The point of it is these people are going in now helping innocent victims to try to survive this hideous situation. And again, folks, I don't care what side you're on. Innocent people are still innocent people. And if warfare only took out soldiers, that'd be great. But it doesn't.
Yeah.
So tell us what you're doing right now in Israel and other places around there. What are you doing?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I need to start with Ukraine, and then
I can
talk
ahead.
To you about
Sure, go right ahead. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
So when the war started between Russia and Ukraine, so basically we exist to serve the evangelical Baptist churches throughout the former Soviet Union, every country of the former Soviet Union. And there's roughly 6,000 churches that we have access to. In Ukraine, when the war started, they had about 2,500 churches. They've lost about 400 of those churches since then. But they have a very broad network of churches throughout those countries. So when the war started, we had been in discussions with the leadership of those churches, and we engineered a humanitarian aid distribution program that was funneled through those churches. So there was a certain point in time that between us and the Baptist Union churches, we were the largest distributor of humanitarian aid in those countries. So every person that was ministered to heard a clear presentation of the gospel. So now we're seeing significant growth in the churches and a bit of a revival that's taking place in Ukraine in the midst of this war, okay? One of the things that happened when the war first started was that people were trying to make their way from the eastern part of Ukraine across Ukraine and then escape into Eastern Europe, into Poland and Czech Republic and those places. So we were kind of helping to fund this sort of underground railroad, if you will, where people would go from one church to another to another. They'd spend the night, they'd get food, they'd get fuel, you know, they basically helped them to continue on their way, to make their way out of the country. So a number of those people were Ukrainian Jews who, when they left Ukraine, they made their way down to Israel as refugees. So I was in Israel the day the war started between Russia and Ukraine. And even by then, they were starting to see a significant influx in the number of Ukrainian refugees that were coming into Israel. And so we have a significant ministry in Israel. We started working in Israel in the 1940s. We sent Russian Jewish Christians into Israel. They were doing Bible training and theological training, and they were doing church planting and evangelism. And over the last 15 years, we have ramped up that ministry so that we fund the largest training center in partnership with a school called the Israel College of the Bible of Russian Jewish Christians who are citizens of Israel. And we send them out to do church planting and evangelism and the similar things that we're doing in the countries of the former Soviet Union. So what they would do when these Ukrainian refugees would come into Israel, they would meet them as they would come into the country, and they would help to get them situated, help them to find jobs, help them to find a place to live, you know, and get them kind of settled into this new country that they find themselves in, because it was all, obviously, they had no idea what life in Israel were like. So a lot of these people, hundreds and hundreds or thousands of these people, settled in the southern part of Israel, in and around the city of Ashkelon. Okay, so fast forward when the war broke out on October 7th, 80% of the missiles that were launched in Gaza fell in and around Ashkelon and in and around the communities where these refugees were situated. And they didn't know they left a war, now they're in the middle of another war. They didn't know anybody, they weren't connected, and they were just scared to death. They didn't know what to do, they didn't have a safety net, and they were just in their apartments between, you know, sitting in their apartments and going back and forth to the bomb shelters. A lot of them hadn't found jobs, and they didn't have access to food or resources.
Right. Hang on that thought. We're going to go to break here, please, Michael. Hang on to the thought. Folks, back at the break, there's a lot more to talk about. Your question and comments also, if you'd like to call, at 844-769-2944. What an enjoyable conversation, Mike, to see this working. Wonderful. Back at the break.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, or furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nevada Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nevada a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we're back. Phone lines open at 844-769-2944. I am enjoying tonight's testimony coming from our brother Michael Johnson, the president of Slavic Gospel Association, and what they're doing to reach people all over the world, really, but he's talking about now in Russia and, of course, in Ukraine and Israel, people that are desperately in need of help, and they have no idea who Jesus Christ is, was, and what he did. They have no idea. And these people come into their homes, they don't know. They have no idea who the people are. Come in offering help. And the door's open for testifying. Doors open for witnessing. What a beautiful way to do this. And it's, folks, this is a... has got to be a very tense position to be in, especially right now if you're in one of these war-torn areas, that you're going in to witness the people, help people that are right now in the middle of maybe being homeless or starving or whatever. This is a phenomenal testimony, but I would say a scary situation also. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. Well, to continue on, so we're connected to a group of Slavic churches, and in Israel, I mean, probably between a fourth and a third of the people in Israel are either Russian or of Russian descent. So, you know, there's a significant number of Russians that live in Israel, and I think they estimate there's roughly 30,000 Russian Jews, Russians who are Christians in Israel. And so we're connected to a fairly extensive network of Russian churches from the south to the north. And so, you know, we basically exist to serve their churches. or as when John 4:37 talks about, or 38 talks about, we have the opportunity of entering into their labor and giving our donors opportunities to enter into their labor as well. So when the war started, Pastor Oleg in Ashkelon, he represents a group of churches. They immediately went out and started to purchase food and other resources. We would send them money to purchase the food. They'd put together food packets, and because they knew where these Ukrainian refugees lived, because they had helped them to find their apartments and their homes, they just started to go out and knock on doors and bless these people. And they would find people that were sitting in their apartments, you know, not knowing what was, scared to death, not knowing what was going to happen to them, praying that God would show up and help them. And the door would, they'd knock on the door, and these Christians are standing there. And these people aren't Christians, you know. So they were invited in, and you know, and they would, you know, give them food, and they would just, they had this look of amazement on their faces, because, I mean, the missiles were falling, the drones were flying through, there were, you know, there were Hamas snipers on the roofs of the apartment buildings in that area, and it was just a very, very dangerous situation. And so they come in, they sit down, and they give them food, and they start talking to them, and they would ask these people, why are you here? I mean, what motivates you to come here and help us? And they would just say, we're Christians. We're from the local church. We knew you needed help, and this is what God has called us to do. And invariably, that would open up opportunities to share the gospel with these people. And I'm going to share a quick story with you from Oleg.
Sure.
And he met this family, and he says, quote, a rocket flew into their house and destroyed the entire entrance. They've been in the basement of the house for the first days of the war, and we bring them hot food. When we told them that we believed in Christ, they were open and began listening. After the conversation, they asked us to give them Bibles and to come back again. We talked about God, Christ, the whole evening, and they wanted to study the Bible with us. So we shared the we started a Bible study in the basement. Please pray for these people. You know, it's just most of these people are atheists, you know, and particularly people that grew up in the former Soviet Union. They grew up in atheistic households. They are the ones that are most open to the gospel. And,
responsive. Quick comment here, too, that these are atheists that, we would say they were Jews, and you would have thought they would at least understood something about the Torah and the Word of God and Isaiah.
Yeah,
but they didn't. Go ahead. This is interesting. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Many of them don't. Yeah, many of them don't. And the one thing that, you know, that when they begin to witness to these people, and they tell them that Jesus was a Jew, most people are just shocked by that because they had no idea. They just thought it was an aberrant religion, just like every other aberrant religion. And so. And so they open up the scripture, and obviously they'll go through Isaiah 53, and then they'll go through the gospel, and people begin to warm up. And so now, many of those people that they connected with when the war started, they're now coming to the churches to fellowship with the believers, and we're beginning to see a lot of fruit in this situation, in the same way we saw, in the same way of what we're seeing in Ukraine in that war-torn area. So.
Wow.
So it's just a great opportunity for ministry, and you know, and it's hard to evangelize in Israel, you know, because you know there's a lot of opposition from the government when it comes to evangelizing citizens of Israel.
Of course.
And but as a result of this, oh yeah, absolutely. So I mean, you know, this network of churches, I mean, they've connected with thousands of homes and distributed, you know, I don't know how many tens of thousands of meals, and you know, opened up, you know, hundreds and hundreds of opportunities to share the gospel with these people in their homes. And people are very responsive. I mean, sometimes they'll come back and they'll say, you know, who are you? Well, we're the Christians. We were here a couple of weeks ago. People will say, well, no, that's okay. You know, you don't have to come in. But the majority of the people invite them back in because they're such wonderful people and godly people. So, so we don't know what's going to happen in Israel. I mean, you know, they say it's starting to settle down a little bit. The missiles are still flying into Ashkelon, so there's still a lot of danger there. But the biggest concern is that roughly now about 20% of the Israeli ministry is in Gaza. The rest of their military is in the north in anticipation of Hezbollah's invasion, potential invasion from Lebanon. So they're up there trying to protect the country. So we have access to a network of Slavic churches up in that part of Israel as well, in the event that that happens. So for us, you know, we have these great relationships. You know, the churches are distribution channels that we can get food to and resources to. They can get them to displaced people, and that in every single instance, it opens up an opportunity for them to share the gospel at a point in their lives where they don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't have any hope, and they just the foundations of the world is being shaken right now, you know.
Yes, it is.
And it's happening in Israel, in the Middle East. It's happening in the former Soviet Union. It's happening in Eastern Europe. You know, I'm going to Moldova in 2 weeks, and Russia is threatening to invade Moldova in the next few months. So we're not quite sure what's going to happen there. So there's just a lot going on, and yet a lot of opportunities for ministry. So for us, we try to stay out of the political fray, and our focus, our sole focus, is serving those churches so Amen. That they can, and we serve those churches. We, you know, we're the largest supporter of theological training in the former Soviet Union. Right now, we sponsor about 370 national church-planting families that are sent out. But we have access to so many more churches, and then we help them with their orphan ministries. Last year, we sponsored 65,000 children, most of whom came from unchurched families, to go to Christian summer camp. We have a big Christmas fundraiser that we do, and then our compassion ministry and humanitarian aid ministry has just skyrocketed. And God is using that in a very special way, because we're not a humanitarian aid ministry per se, you know. But humanitarian aid is used in many ways, not only to minister to people, you know, when they're in for their physical needs, but as a way to open door for the gospel as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're not only evangelizing, you are discipling people. That's important. Christ
right.
said, "Go out and disciple the nations." So you're actually discipling people to keep spreading the gospel and disciple other people. So what you're doing is huge. And you mentioned, of course, you know, unrest in Middle East, unrest in Asia, other places, and right now in Venezuela and Guyana, about ready to go to war. I mean, this is spreading around the world. It's unrest, and you're right. We're sitting on a powder keg worldwide. We truly are.
Yeah.
If there's ever a time to get the word out, it's now's the time to do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Russia right now, every other evangelical faith-based ministry that has been working in Russia for many years are gone. They had to pull their missionaries out when the war started. They couldn't get funds in, or for political reasons, they pulled out. We are the only ones left in Russia right now, for all intents and purposes.
Well, how do you get your funds? I mean, I'm going to go ahead and give the reason why.
We've been doing this for many, many, many years, so we can get funds. Yeah.
That's important. I mean, what you're doing is beyond important. You're the first minister ever that I've had on for a long time that are able to get in, to open these doors in places where most people are not allowed into. You said Israel is not the kindest nation to Christians, but that's just one of the few. I mean, to get involved and to go into, we'll say, Jewish households or Israeli households, period, and go into homes that don't even believe the Torah, much less believe the Word of God, and do what you're doing and reopen the doors, that is phenomenal. That's a gracious work of God right there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's an organization called the Eurasian Baptist Federation, and they were established back in the early 90s, you know, when the wall came down, when perestroika happened and whatnot. So before that, all the churches in the Soviet Union fell under one union because the communists wanted to keep track of them. And so When the wall came down and the Commonwealth of Independent States were established, all these churches, all these countries were then independent, and so the churches formed their own Baptist unions, if you will. But they made the decision that they want to continue to maintain fellowship with one another. And so for us, you know, we provide the funding for that organization. And the executive director is a completed an individual, a completed Jew that lives in Israel. And so every month, we get together for prayer and fellowship, and we're going to have another meeting tomorrow. So that keeps us and me connected with the leaders of the Baptist churches in every one of those countries. And so the critical element of our ministry is being able to build a trusted relationship with the church leaders in those countries, which for us keeps the doors open for us to minister in those countries and in many cases expand our ministries. And without that trust, you know, it's difficult to be able to minister. I believe, having worked with many other ministries, that this is one of the greatest mission strategies in modern day missiology, because of just the huge access that these churches open up for us and our donors and supporters and churches to be able to have an impact in the lives of so many people, because the arms and legs on the ground are those churches and the church workers, and these are very committed, you know, very courageous Christians and leaders, because they know that the only reason that God brought the walls of communism down was so that those nations could hear the gospel.
Well, the gospel of Christ, is, as he said, will be preached around the world, and you're discipling nations as you're told to. Again, this is remarkable, and your story from your life is unbelievable. But what the other gentleman, you said, started this in 1934, and how grew what it is now is phenomenal. Now, how many nations do y'all work in now?
Well, I guess I would say we work in 12. We just added Moldova, so I think we've also expanded into Poland as well. So I'd say probably 14 or 15 now, roughly.
Wow! Yeah. Wow! Okay. And how you been received? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and roughly in the former Soviet countries, we're talking about the population of roughly 280 million people, and then you add Israel to that, and now Poland. So it's gone up a bit. But yeah, we have, and again, we have this great network of churches that, you know, that span all those countries, and so we do a lot of work in Siberia and Far East Russia. And we have an aviation ministry out there. So, you know, we've got pilots and pastors that are flying north of the Arctic Circle and planting churches and distributing Bibles. And yeah, it's just, you know, again, Russia is 11 and a half time zones long. It's huge, you know.
Oh, yes, so. Absolutely. Yes, yes. It makes us look small. Yes, I agree. And folks,
really
if you want to call and have any questions, the lines are open, 844-769-2944. This has been a program tonight where we're not bringing up a lot of maybe interesting facts as far as what's going on in the world, but we're bringing up something I think is beautiful, a story of success in reaching people for Christ all over the world. People that were atheists, people that denied there's even a God, are being reached out through the love of Christ for the souls of those that we mentioned to. What a beautiful story. And we're down about the last 10 minutes. So, is there anything that the people can do to help, or are you pretty much self-funded?
Well, we're not self-funded. I mean, we're donor supported. And so,
right.
If anybody's interested in what I had to say, you can just go to our website, which is sga.org, and it kind of gives an overview of the different ministries that we're involved in over there. I mean, right now, we're ministering to 15,000 orphans throughout those countries because of the fact that the governments actually allow the evangelical Christians to come into state-run orphanages to minister to the kids. And so we have a program where every single week there are church workers that are invited into orphanages to build relationships with the kids and to conduct Bible studies with the kids and mentor the kids. And the orphanage directors love it when the Christians come because of the positive impact that it has on the behavior of the kids. So, you know, when the churches show up, you know, the kids run to the window and they start yelling, "The Christians are here! The Christians are here! The Christians are here!" And so that's not going to happen in this country, right? You know,
no,
you can't go to state-run facilities.
No.
and do Bible studies with kids. So, and so we've been doing this for 25 years. So a lot of these kids, they were dropped off at the orphanages, and they essentially grew up in a Christian home, because every week those churches would come in and you know, conduct Bible studies, and then they're invited to Christian summer camps. They're involved in the Christmas celebrations. I mean, it's basically, you know, a Christian environment that they're growing up in. It's just amazing that God has opened that door. And we have a huge number of supporters who love orphans and support that. That's just one of the ministries that we're involved in. So,
well,
yeah.
Anyone that has a heart and sees a child suffering is heartbroken. I don't care. I mean, adults, of course, but a child, an innocent child. That's why when I see what's happening, not just in the Middle East, but in Ukraine and all of the world, you see these children and young ladies and bleeding in the streets. Dying in the streets.
Oh, yeah.
And they had nothing to do with any of this.
Real quick. So when the wall came down, the Russian government did a study, because on their 18th birthday, they forced the kids out of the orphanages, and 97% of those kids are lost. Drug addiction, prostitution. Most of them don't make it to their 25th birthday. It's just a really sad situation. They updated that study, so that now roughly 87% of the kids are lost. So it's just a really bad situation. The kids grow up with not a lot of love, and they're just angry young people, and it's just really tough. But those orphanages that allow those workers to come in, those church workers to come in, it just completely changes their lives. Because in many instances, those orphanages are recruiting grounds for the Russian mafia that come in and groom the kids at a very young age. And so they're doing it on one side of the orphanages while the churches are ministering to the kids with the love of Christ on the other ones. So the kids always gravitate toward the churches as opposed to the Russian mafia criminals. So it's a battle for the heart and soul of the kids in that facility, you know?
And also the child trafficking, I'm sure, that when the child trafficking is worldwide. It's a multi-billion dollar business. I'm sure they're involved in that.
Yeah.
So you're giving a lot of people hope. You're giving a lot of people a little bit of hope. And, Michael, and I appreciate y'all doing that. And again, it's SGA.org. That stands for Slavic Gospel Association.org. SGA.org. Check out the website. See what they're doing. And maybe you may want to help. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy them. I mean, the phone calls are quiet, which means people are listening. And nobody calling in, they're really paying attention to what's being said. So I wish I could sit down sometime, pick your brain, and understand what you're into all the way, because this is a very fascinating conversation, Michael.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I'm really enjoying talking about this, and again, I get up every morning and, you know, praise God for what He's allowed me to do. Coupled with the fact that the last job I have, it was an hour and a half drive to work. Now my commute is 5 minutes from my house to the office, and that's great. but the Lord, yeah, I got to say something. The Lord, He meets every one of your needs, because I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee. So the Lord saw fit to build a Dunkin' Donuts coffee direct halfway between my house and my office. So my 5 minute commute sometimes usually turns into a 7 minute commute, depending on how long the coffee line is.
Wow, what a rough life! What a rough life! I tell you what, but somebody got to leave
it.
God bless you. But yeah, we're down about the last 3 and 4 minutes here. What else do you want to tell the people? I'm going to give you the last couple minutes to wrap it up. Whatever's on your heart.
Well, I just want to say that we have a lot of different priorities. And right now, Israel is, you know, is really on the radar screen. And we're praying that the Lord would open hearts among the Jewish people in Israel to accepting their son. And this is an unprecedented opportunity for evangelism in Israel right now. And many, many people are open to the gospel, particularly the Russian population that we're focused on, because they have these wonderfully trained, you know, theologically sound, you know, pastors and church planters that are just out there ministering to these people, you know, and because, again, a lot of these people, their foundations are shaken. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know what's going to happen to their country. And people are frightened, and it's under those circumstances where people look at their lives, you know, they're thinking about how, you know, what what life is all about and what truth is. And when those pastors and church planners knock on their doors, you know, they come with answers, and people are just incredibly open to what they have to tell them. So pray that God opens hearts in Israel, because this is an opportune time in that country.
All right. Again, folks, it's sga.org. I suggest check out the website. I really mean that, because what they're doing is a phenomenal work around all over Europe, basically. Poland now, a new country to go into. One more quick question. When you go into a new country, are you received pretty well by the authorities, or is it a battle in Poland to get things in there?
We're an incredibly impactful ministry. But because we work under the authority of and with the blessing of the church leaders, we're able to do this and create this incredible impact by keeping a low profile in those countries. Because we're serving the church. We are true servants of the church. We don't draw attention to ourselves. Our goal is to lift the churches up as lights for the gospel in their communities. And we don't put SGA logos on anything. We don't promote ourselves and our brand in those countries. We are simply there to lift the churches up as lights for the gospel. So under those circumstances, we have a tremendous amount of freedom and flexibility to do what God has called us to do.
All right, let's take one quick phone call. Let's speak to Daryl in Pennsylvania. Daryl, come on in.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for what you're doing there. I trained some missionaries that went over to Russia in the Russian language. Can I ask you real quick, the Baptists, they suffered horribly under Soviet rule, the independent Baptists, and the Orthodox Church was no big help to them. So are the Baptists still suffering in the old Soviet Union?
The Baptists have, since the wall came down, they've had a lot more freedom than they certainly did, before the wall came down. So, you know, we've been able to help them train pastors, plant churches, build churches, and again, minister to people across, all throughout those nations. But now, in the midst of the war, since the Orthodox Church has gained political influence and support, we're starting to see some potential problems with the non-Orthodox faiths in those countries. So that's, we've got to continue to pray that the door remains open there and to protect those churches. So we're starting to see a lot of harassment taking place.
All right.
Well,
good
thank you very
Darryl.
Much. I know you're short on time there.
We're
so thank you.
Time.
God bless
thank you.
And thank you, Pastor.
You.
You're welcome. God bless you, Michael. We'll be in touch again sometime. How's that?
Great. I look forward to it. Yeah,
I'll talk
so
to you
much.
Soon. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, great. Okay. Bye-bye.
Folks, we'll see you in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4. Love to hear from you. That's what we're here for. Have a wonderful night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.